must. And you've got your proof text for those, all of them being dealt with in Scripture. And we've got between Deuteronomy and Romans probably cover a lot of it. So you can look at those and consider any of that that you feel you need to have more knowledge about. All unclean imaginations, thoughts, purposes, and affections. And again, if you look at your footnote 5, the connection between the eyes and the heart, and we've talked about that, what is in the heart that the heart may long for or may be inclined toward, the old nature that's still there, the mind, the eyes, and the trigger, the heart getting the eyes to look or the eyes seeing, and that triggers the heart. So there's the combination in that. And we are basically told, which we'll see, to guard against those things, to stay away from them. Then the next is similar, all corrupt or filthy communications are listening thereunto. And the Ephesians 5, 3 and 4, footnote 6, the foolish talking, the jesting. And again, sometimes as believers, you find yourself in a situation where there's just the wrong conversation. And sometimes it's, as it were, done in jest, to try to be, I don't know, to fit in, to be thought better of, to whatever it is. But sometimes we engage in foolish talking and jesting. And the interesting part, if you look at that verse, Ephesians 5, 3 and 4, there on page 475, which are not convenient, but the alternative that it gives is but rather giving of thanks. So if you want to talk about something, talk about how thankful you are that the Lord has shown you mercy and in his grace has saved you. So we're going to engage in something. Our engaging should be in the things of the Lord, all right? Wanton looks, impudent or light behavior, immodest apparel. Again, we've looked at those, a lot of that. The wanton looks is the is flirting with a sexual overtone. Is what is going on there. And the other is doing the same thing, a different form of it, but we talked about modesty and modesty for everybody, what it is that you are trying to call attention to in from someone else. And we compared the carnal things with the spiritual things. And how, if we're going to call attention, let's have people take note that we've been with the Lord, not that we've been with the world. And that's kind of the contrast that you have in this area. All right? Prohibiting of lawful and dispensing with unlawful marriages. And you've got your proof text there. The approving of things that the Lord had forbidden in the way of marriage. The other was to prohibit. There was teaching, and Paul dealt with it in the church where, oh, no, you should not be married. Should not be married. Not the thing to do. And Paul said, yeah, and what's happening is we got people who are winding up in adultery, or at least are being tempted to be there, because of these teachings that are not scriptural. So you've got both sides of this thing, having marriages that shouldn't be happening and preventing marriages that should be happening. So we've got that part. allowing, tolerating, keeping of stews, and you've got your footnote there that tells you that stews are brothels, and resorting to them. Entangling vows of single life, a little bit along the same line of forbidding proper marriages. And again, you can look at your proof text. Undue delay of marriage, we talked about that. People feeling like they needed to be serving the Lord, so they put off marriage in order to serve the Lord. But what was happening is they weren't either being fair, especially if they were engaged, would be probably where we would be talking about it, the relationship, or a serious relationship, and you've got this person that is interested in you and you're interested in them and you've expressed that to each other, but you say, but not yet, because I've got to do some things for the Lord yet, and it doesn't work well for either of you. And we talked about the fact that, yes, now when you do marry, you've got to realize that there are obligations that go with that. And your time that you would have otherwise to serve the Lord is going to be diminished in the sense of being engaged in a direct service, but not to overlook that you're serving the Lord in the marriage as well. So it's not that you're taking away from time of serving the Lord because what you do in the marriage is not serving the Lord. It very much is serving the Lord in a very, very, very important way. Having more wives or husbands than one at the same time. Unjust divorce or desertion. Unjust divorce would be for reasons other than adultery. Desertion. And you've got your proof text on these, and we'll hit these in chapter 24, I think it is. Yeah, chapter 24. When we get there, chapter 24 of the confession deals with marriage, so we'll talk more about those. I'm not going to spend time on them now, but those are the two generally. I'm not saying you've got to believe in both. I've known people who say only adultery, desertion's not a grounds. I've seen people that say desertion is grounds, and you've got to be, and I always told folks, you've got to be comfortable before the Lord that you know you've got the mind of the Lord. If you were going to sue for divorce on the grounds of desertion, but you've got reservations in your heart about that, my advice is then don't do it yet. It doesn't matter what I say. It doesn't matter even what the church says, that it's okay as far as we're concerned. Now, it is important, too, to know what your church, what their position is. Because if you get a divorce, then you find out that you've just made yourself totally almost an outcast in the church, then you find out too late what you should have at least been considering, and somebody should have been talking to you about, or you should have been inquiring, look, if this happens, what does that do as to my church membership? What does it do as to my service in the church? All of those things come into play. They come into play in this church, and they come into play in some churches. Some churches don't think twice about it, unfortunately. You can be anything from the minister down to whoever in a lot of churches. So if you're engaged in church, and hopefully you are, then you certainly want to know what your church's position is before you would ever pursue it in the legal system. All right? Idleness, gluttony, drunkenness, unchaste company. Kind of interesting that those get thrown in a paragraph on or consideration of the seventh commandment. But look at the proof text for that. Let me 17 and 18. Yeah, down at the bottom of page 476, Ezekiel 16:49. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Now we know about Sodom. So look and see what it is that the Lord says. Here's what got the people in Sodom in trouble, or at least part of what got them in trouble. Pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters, neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. Pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness. And we've talked about that a little bit in the past, but I thought it certainly was worth noting that here things that some of the things that the words that are used have the negative connotation, but we might use terms like leisure and recreation and abundance and nice words, nice sounding words. The Lord says, you better be careful. When you got time on your hands, you better be very careful, because that's what starts the adultery in the context we're using it. That's where a lot of it starts. David was not where he should have been with his army. He had time on his hands, and he wound up in adultery, murder, lying, you know, a little bit of everything. So we need to be careful and take note how much things in life relate to the things, the sin that so easily besets us. Lascivious songs, books, pictures, dancings, stage plays. Kind of interesting. Today we would talk about going to the movies. Okay, the theater was the movie when a lot of this was done. It's kind of interesting. I want to read you something that I thought was interesting in a couple of ways. And this came from minutes of a governmental agency. All right? And just listen up for a minute. Whereas true religion and good morals are the only solid foundation of public liberty and happiness, resolved that it be and is hereby earnestly recommended to the several states to take the most effectual means for the encouragement thereof and for the suppressing of theatrical entertainments, horse racing, gaming, and such other diversions as are productive of idleness, dissipation, and a general depravity of principles and manners. I guess where that came from? It came from the minutes of the U.S. Congress on October the 12th, 1778. Just another one of those evidences that godliness and Christian living was at the forefront of this country's establishment. But I thought that it was interesting. That was in Plummer's book on Law of God that I've mentioned to you before, along with other things. And you can look. The books that we've got, we've referred to Watson on the Ten Commandments, the book on the Lord Williamson on the Larger Catechism. So you look at those, and they go into some more of these. They treat some differently. Some of them very good things, good food for thought, as far as just how subtle and how easy we let down our guard. in some of these areas. And as a result, we wind up either in adultery, encouraging adultery, having the wrong thoughts, whatever it may be. The last part, and all other provocations too, are acts of uncleanness, either in ourselves or others. All right? And the shorter catechism question, which is on page 478, does a great job in summarizing what all of this has gone, and even the whole seventh commandment. But the question is, what is forbidden in the seventh commandment? And the answer, the seventh commandment forbiddeth all unchaste thoughts, words, and actions. And that summarizes it, everything we've talked about. And some of you are saying, why didn't you start there? We'll end there. Other than, I do want to read one other thing to you that is fairly current. This happened in our city, okay? Some of you may have heard of it, seen the notes about it, whatever. There's a young lady out in Greer who appeared before the Greenville City Council, right? Now this is in reference to these sculptures, this traveling, quote, art that's been brought to our city. Here's what this young lady told City Council. If you haven't seen this, listen carefully. I'm keeping myself pure for marriage, and that 100% includes keeping my eyes pure. I thank God somebody warned me about the statues, because if I had gone downtown unknowingly, that would have robbed me of my innocence, and you would have been responsible, she told the council members. You have no idea how profoundly that would crush my spirit. Do you care at all that you're making hundreds and more people cry bitter tears? I'm telling you to take down the statues, destroy them, and repent. Because if you don't, God's going to have to take you guys down. It's pretty powerful. No one on City Council had expressed any reservations. In fact, you get the comments, and the article had some of them from people. One person said, well, I understand where she's coming from. I understand. I don't personally have a problem, but I understand. Some said, well, I really find nothing objectionable. I think they're great works of art. It's just, I thought, wow, application, modern day application of what we've been talking about, seventh commandment. And a young lady who was bold enough to go down and stand before city council and say, this is wrong. No matter how artful you think it is offensive. It is degrading. It is corrupting of the human heart and nature. So, county council held up doing any funding for it. Now, whether they'll stick to it, I don't know. But we'll see. But right here, in the buckle of the Bible Belt, and we've got that happening. So, cause to be much in prayer. That which should be shameful and not spoken of is commonplace. That which should be commonplace is frowned upon derided, criticized, dismissed. If you take a stand based on God's word, you're just an extremist. One of these days, you'll be a terrorist. So, we are in troubling days. Certainly, they may become more troubling. Don't know. But cause for us to be much in prayer that the Lord would help. All right. Anything on the seventh commandment? Questions, comments? No? All right. Let's move to the eighth commandment. And I want to just kind of deal generally with the eighth commandment some today, and then we'll get into the questions probably next week. Eighth commandment, which is the eighth commandment. The eighth commandment is, thou shalt not steal. Right? So, my word for the eighth commandment is property. Property. We'll take a moment, review. First commandment, our word for the first commandment is our what? No other gods before me, our focus. Second commandment, no graven images, is our what?
Worship.
Our worship. Third commandment, not to take the Lord's name in vain, our
reverence.
Yes, our reverence, attitude, either one. Fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, and remember to work the other 6 days. That part doesn't get talked about a lot, but anyway. Fourth commandment deals with our
time.
Deals with our time, right? Fifth commandment, honor thy father and thy mother, deals with our life, but not life. What part of life?
Relationships.
The relationships in life. All right? All relationships. Sixth commandment, we're not to kill, deals with life. Okay, that's, I put life on the sixth. Seventh commandment, not to commit adultery, deals with our
purity,
deals with our purity. And now the eighth commandment is dealing with our property. Now, I just want to talk about, and we've gone through enough commandments now that you obviously understand the broad aspects of these commandments. So I thought, I'd just like to see what you think or what your comes to mind when we talk about what it is. What can be stolen? What can be stolen? I've got a few things written down. I just want to see what comes to your mind. Just whatever comes. What is it that you could steal or somebody can steal from you? I'm not asking what you're planning on going and stealing. So you don't need to plead the fifth unless you're going to say, well, I was thinking about, don't want that happening. But, what is it that can be stolen? I mean, some things are very obvious, aren't they? But let me know what you're thinking. I want specifics. That's not fair. That's not fair. Now, Bob said anything, so all right. Well, let's become a little more narrow that down. He's exactly correct. All right? That is where we'd pretty much wind up. But I want us to think about some of those things that make up anything and everything. Paul?
In educational settings, plagiarizing,
cheating. Okay. So in the educational area, plagiarizing, stealing something that came from somebody else to use it as our own, and that comes up every year. In various forms, whether it be students with what they do or whether it be public speakers and what they use and borrow from to in their speaking. So, good, plagiarizing, okay? What else can we steal?
Car,
okay. anything along that line, cars, assets, equipment, money, the tangible, the coins, the dollar bills, the whatever. We can steal the property. What else?
Time.
What are you thinking of there, Jonathan? We'll hit this in another area too, but I want you to go ahead and whose time and what time? Okay, spiritually, stealing time from God. Other examples of stealing time. Yeah, employer, employee. Thanks, Mark. Paul?
Showing up late. Appointments.
Okay. Yeah, so even if we're late, gets convicting, but I don't remember what it was, and some of you may have heard this before too, but somebody that was in charge of a meeting was delayed for like 5 minutes, but there were like 20 people, 30 people in the meeting, something. Everybody was there except this one. This one came in and, wasn't thinking too much about, well, I'm 5 minutes late, not a big deal. 5 minutes late, and the person pointed out to him, you just wasted an hour of time, or 2 hours, or whatever the numbers worked out as. But the 20 people in 5 minutes, there's, 100 minutes, so an hour and a half of time that you just wasted collectively. So, yeah, not being considerate of others in our time considerations, good, all right? So, let's move on from time. What else? Think back one commandment. What gets stolen there? You're thinking seventh commandment. Purity, affection,
innocence.
What our young lady was talking about. That was what she was telling city council. You're trying to rob me of my purity and innocence. Yeah? Slander? Reputation? Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Good. Reputation. Affections we've talked about. Emotions. About somebody stealing your heart. Somebody befriending you, somebody your best friend, and then they, as we use the phrase, stab you in the back. Scripture talks about that. Thought you were my friend. And you inserted the blade. You got that. You got trust, stealing trust, which factors into that. What about quality of life? What, again, we can go back to the seventh commandment. We can go to other things where what you do impacts others to the point that you don't meet your obligations to them. Example, what about the drunkard? All right? Husband, father, but drunkard. And the drunkard, instead of using the money to support the family, uses it to support his drunkenness. Whether it's entirely or in part. Family does without, whether it's food, clothing, housing, but they do without as well. They have no father. They do without an instruction. They do without in training. That's a person who has stolen from his family by not meeting his obligations. Right? Good. Anything else? Receiving stolen property? Good. Yeah. You can be involved in that, in the theft, indirectly. Now, that's generally with knowledge, or at least suspicion. If somebody that you know hands you something and says, you know, will you just hang on to this for me, you might think twice about it. Sure. And, you know, I'll get it back from you when I'm ready for it. And turns out it's stolen property. Can create problems for you, for sure. No question. And we'll hit that some in our, when we do our questions. All right, so we've talked about what can be stolen. Let's talk about where. Where can theft occur? And we've already mentioned some of it with our answers to what, but where? And you can kind of just think of all the places that there are. You can start with self, actually, but you can start at home. Siblings stealing from one another. The quality of life, the time, the training. Obviously, people that come to work in your home to do things can see something they like and it disappears from your home. So home is not exempt by any means. You get, again, it's sad, but you get one spouse stealing from the other just to, again, usually the things we talked about at the end of the last thing, to engage in some kind of idleness or entertainment, whether it be the lottery. I've known of situations there where all the savings, lottery tickets. All the retirement account, lottery tickets. And it was just everything. It becomes an addiction just like anything else. Drunkenness, the alcohol, the drugs, you can pick your vice. You can lose it all. All right? So home, we talked about time in the workplace. And time is probably, would you say time is the, for those who have been in the workplace, is time the greatest way of theft in the workplace, do you think? And I can think of certain, if you're in the restaurant business, is probably, I'm not sure time is, petty cash or the cash payments or the money gets lost there by the tens of thousands. But embezzlement, and you can lose a lot with embezzlement. Again, you read about that all the time. Somebody found doing stuff with the books or just not reporting and cash come in. Everything from the PTA to the bookkeeper to the lifelong employee. You know, it's again, it's sad when we realize how much it enters in, but the workplace certainly is one. Where else?
Church.
Okay, church. Good. I had that one down. So how, where in the, or how in the church?
Anywhere
Okay? So you're dealing with money, so certainly money can be there. Or you could take that one spiritually. What about spiritually? How does theft occur in the church spiritually? What's the greatest theft that you can think of in the church? The truth, distorting the truth, not telling the truth. Let's take that a little bit further. So what's the worst thing you can think of in connection with the lack of truth in the church? Yeah. And which leads to what? Yeah, assurance, even their salvation. If you tell them they're okay, everybody's engaged in, you know, the Lord loves everybody. Everybody's going to be saved. The Lord died for everyone. And they walk out the door as lost as they walked in the door. And they go out into a lost eternity, and what did you steal? Effectively, you stole their soul. Now, it's not to take away from the sovereignty of God. Don't misunderstand me. But you certainly, when Scripture talks about the under-shepherds who are thieves and careless and not worth anything, it acknowledges, Scripture acknowledges it. So yeah. The time, you've stolen time, people come and you give them nothing. You've stolen their time, as Paul was talking about, Dr. Overly. So, yeah, anything else in the church?
Disrupting worship.
Yeah, again, you disrupt. Potentially getting the seed, maybe. You looking at it that way? Good. So again, you see our commandments a lot more than shoplifting or stealing money and putting in your pocket. What Eric's? Oh, Paul. Mark. Failure to do your obligation before the Lord in giving. Yeah. Which kind of gets back to those aspects of these commandments when we talk about the obligations and then we talk about the sins and the obligations, failure to do them being a sin. Pam? Yeah, this. Where is it? You can help me out. But when the Lord came, and you know, the people would bring their sacrifices, and the Lord, your sacrifices are meaningless, because you're not here to worship me. Your heart's not there. The one where they would go and offer their children as sacrifices, and then they would come to the temple. To worship God? Yeah. Our worship, stealing from God that which belongs only to God in our worship? Sure. Good. All right. One more place. What's the place that we haven't talked about yet? Talked about the home. We've talked about the workplace. We've talked about the church. And what's the other area that we just that you live in?
Family?
Well, the home, the family, much broader.
Society,
the public. Okay. The government, our example. Our government's in being neglectful, stealing from the people. Certainly there would be a lot of people that would say, you know, our national government stealing from the taxpayers to do things that are wrong. I mean, just not just foolish. There's plenty of that too, but stuff that you and I would say is not scripturally correct, should not be done. And we have people dealing wrongfully, you know. I'm giving you this with all the attachments or whatever, and you hold back the false scale, okay? Just in the general public, buying, selling, making false representations. All that comes into play. And as a Christian, and you just think about it. How does finding a great deal factor in with the Christian? That is, somebody says, I'm going to sell you this for this much money. Now, you know that it's worth maybe two or three times what they're offering to sell it to you, man. So what do you do? Do you go home and thank the Lord for giving you such a windfall? Do you go to the person and say, I can't pay you that. I can't pay what you're asking. It's worth far more than that. Do you ever get extra money back at the store? You get home and you say, whoa. Or you look at the ticket and they didn't charge me for five things. They only rang up one. I bought six. Do you go back to the store and say, I owe you for five more? How does that factor in to this commandment? Just food for thought as to how we need to do. Final question, why do people steal? Why? How do you think? What would be if I asked you to give me one word that would summarize it, whether they were saved or lost, what would be the word?
Covetous?
Covetous would be a reason. It certainly would be a reason. A bigger. We've talked about it a lot in other areas. You want something because you are discontent, aren't you? You're discontent with where you are. You're discontent with your finance. You're discontent with what you have. You're discontent with what somebody else has relative to what you have. You are not content. Discontentment would be what I would put at the top of the list. Covetous, quote, need. You know, you read about it every now and then. Somebody went to rob a bank because they didn't have anything, money to give the kids Christmas presents. And you feel sorry. You do. You know, there'd been sickness in the family. They'd lost their job. I mean, thing after thing. And you say, if ever there was somebody that was justified in trying to go rob a bank, that's the person. But they're not. Sometimes it's revenge. Well, they got that at my expense. I'll get back. Sometimes it's hate. I just don't like the person. They don't, you know. I don't think they deserve what they've got. So I'm going to take it from them. Variety of reasons that we can come up with. But I wanted us to get us thinking, so as we go into our questions, you've got thoughts flowing, and then we can see how it applies. All right, our time's gone, so we'll continue with question or the eighth commandment next week, Lord willing. So let's close in prayer. Father, again, we are thankful for all that you've done for us. Lord, we pray that you would help us as we consider these commandments and, Lord, the far-reaching aspects of them in our everyday life. Lord, they're the obvious things that, Lord, we may even fail in some of those at times. But there are the things that aren't so obvious that we owe to one another, we engage in thoughtlessly, we let slide by, whatever it may be. Lord, we pray that you would help us in our sanctification by thy Spirit through the Word that we've been considering. Be with us now as we go from this hour and as we would come in here again to worship soon. Lord, help us in our worship. Help us to worship thee aright, to worship thee in spirit and in truth, we pray. Do us good, we ask. Do all your people good this day, especially those that are persecuted. Lord, pour them out a special blessing, a special sense of thy nearness and thy help and thy strength this day. Minister to their hearts. To all your people, Lord, you know the need of each heart. Those that will be in this place this day, may your Spirit use what is said, the songs, whatever it may be, to minister to hearts, we pray. Do us good, we ask, for we pray it in Christ's name. Amen.